At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. Governor Andy Beshear's recent mask mandate for all Kentucky schools was struck down by federal judge William Bertelston, who in particular struck down the mandate as it applied to Catholic schools in the Covington Diocese. Bertelston said the executive branch cannot simply ignore laws passed by the duly elected representatives of the citizens of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Therein lies tyranny. Strong words from that federal judge. Now, since that ruling, the Kentucky Supreme Court upheld the legislature's authority to restrict the governor's emergency powers. Governor Beshear rescinded his executive order, and he is expected to call a special session where he will be working with legislative leaders to craft a COVID policy to deal with this second wave of the Delta variant. Joining us is Kentucky's Speaker of the House, David Osborne. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Richard. Good to be with you.
I'm wondering, Speaker Osborne, if did the governor by any chance contact you or other legislative leaders before he issued that mandate at the beginning of the school year just a couple of weeks ago?
I can't speak for who he may have or didn't speak to or did or did not speak to, Richard, but he didn't talk to me personally. But I can't speak to anybody else that he may or may not have talked to.
I understand. In response to the Kentucky Supreme Court ruling, Governor Beshear's communications director, Crystal Staley, said that the court's order will dissolve Kentucky's entire state of emergency for the COVID-19 pandemic. She went on to further comment there that made it sound like nobody else other than the governor can appropriately respond to this second wave. What's your response to that? You're in a place right now where the legislature passed House Bill 1, Senate Bill 1, House Joint Resolution 77, which limits the governor's emergency powers, limits the length of an emergency by which the governor can rule without legislative input. What's your response to that?
Well, I guess on the simplest terms, Richard, she would be accurate, because the legislation that we passed during the session, while it's been enjoined, the timeframes do not necessarily automatically get extended. So under the terms of the bills that we passed and the resolutions that we passed, effectively, upon the lifting of the injunction, which has to be within 20 days of the ruling from the Supreme Court, those orders do expire, and so does the state of emergency. Back to the date which was specified in the legislation that we passed, there would be multiple effective dates of that, but on most of the executive orders, any of the executive orders that we extended, those were extended for 90 days, so they would have extended 90 days beyond the date that we passed them. And then the state of emergency the same. So in its purest sense, she is accurate that the court did effectively end the state of emergency. That does not mean, to your point, obviously, that we don't have the ability and the authority. We have the ability. We don't have the authority to call ourselves into session, but we certainly have the ability once in session to extend anything that we see fit and to pass anything new, assuming that it's on the call that the governor issues, anything new to address the circumstance.
A special session does appear to be imminent. This is interesting because the courts have really forced, if I could put it this way, forced the hand of the governor to work with legislative leaders like yourself and Senate President Stivers. Are you allowed to say if you've been talking with the governor? And of course, some context here is that traditionally there will be agreement before a special session is called. There should be some kind of agreement between legislative leaders and the governor. Are you able to say if you've been talking with the governor now?
We have had a number of conversations, Richard, and at least three in-person meetings now with the governor and with his staff to talk about places where we do have agreement. As you can imagine, there are some places where we don't have agreement. I think that by the time we come in here, we will have at least a framework around which we agree upon. That doesn't mean that he will not ask us to consider some things that he will not ultimately agree, or that we will not ultimately agree to. And he may put those things on the call. There may be some things that we ask him to put on the call that he will not. And so we won't be able to deliberate those things. The Constitution is pretty clear in a special session. In a special session, you can only take up those items that are specifically spelled out in the proclamation for the special session. So if there's anything that we want to consider, he would have to put them on the call for us to actually consider.
On the recent Kentucky Tonight program, President Pro Tem of the Senate, David Givens, indicated that there were four pages of policy considerations that the governor shared with his branch, with his body. A couple of those areas of agreement that were pointed out were to limit price gouging by businesses during the pandemic. Another one was emergency licensure for out-of-state healthcare workers that are coming into Kentucky to help. And another one would allow local school districts to determine their own mask policy. Are there any other areas of agreement that you're able to share?
There are. I mean, obviously, we all tend to get caught up in focusing on those executive orders that we don't like. That's only human nature, and paying no attention to those that don't either directly impact us or that we don't mind. There are executive orders that that will extend continuing education requirements for certain professions that have to meet in person for the continuing education, for example. There are executive orders that will allow for the re-employment of retired individuals for certain situations, particularly teachers, emergency workers, hospital workers, executive orders that will allow for the suspension of licensing requirements for healthcare professionals to travel across state lines, for example. Those are types of things that really are important. In battling this health situation, this health emergency, they are important things to allow people to continue to function normally or to help battle the virus itself. So those are things that really do need to be extended. And I think most of those things we are in agreement on, much like we passed House Joint Resolution 77 back during the session, where there were number of things. I think it was 36 or 38 orders that we extended. We extended many more than we didn't extend, actually, in House Joint Resolution 77. And those were things that we had almost unanimous buy-in from our caucus and passed, I think, without a dissenting vote. So many of those items, there's absolute agreement on. Again, the things that we agree on are pretty innocuous at this point. And then he's thrown out some items that he would like for us to consider, some new issues that he would like for us to consider, to revisit some other issues that he would like for us to consider. And we've actually had some members of our own respective caucuses, both in the House and the Senate, that have been working on some policy initiatives of their own. That they would like to consider. So it has been a bit of a collaborative effort.
Good. The numbers of NTI non-traditional instruction has reverted back to 10 days maximum for the school year. Now, it's about 23 school districts have had to close because of this recent wave. That's according to the Courier-Journal, and that was a couple days ago. It might even be higher. Is one of the considerations to extend NTI for those districts that have had to close?
There is some discussion of extending NTI. There's obviously some people that have real concerns with extending the number of NTI days. simply because I think everybody believes that the best place that kids can be is back in schools and in classrooms. So I think that there's certainly understanding of the problem. I think that just about everybody in the legislature understands the problem of, you know, these kind of very difficult quarantine restrictions that that if one student tests positive, then, you know, in many cases it snowballs into having to close an entire school down, and that is that's not a practical way to deal with this situation. So I think while I'm not going to say that we're necessarily going to create more NTI days, I think that will be debated over the coming days. I do think that there will be some effort to help school districts deal with those situations, and yet at the same time stay in person in school without having to close an entire school system down or an entire school down. But some ways that some flexibility that they need to be able to deal with those situations that I think that most people will be pretty agreeable to.
David, and I'll close with this. I guess the most challenging question, perhaps the most contentious issue, is the statewide mask mandate in the schools. I think what triggered a visceral response from many people was that it extended to private schools. It reached kids as young as 2 and 3 years old, which is difficult to keep a mask on them. It appears that the legislature's moving in the direction and going to maintain that direction of allowing local school districts to determine what's best for themselves. Are you able to speak to that, to their own situation and what would work best for their own district?
You know, I'm not going to speak conclusively yet, Richard. We're going to have a caucus meeting with our members to talk about a lot of these issues yet this afternoon. So I'm not going to speak in absolutes, but I tend to believe that there's no real enthusiasm in our caucus or in the Senate to continue a statewide mandate. I would be very, very surprised if you see
that. Very good. Our thoughts.
You know, I will tell you that the governor has continued to make his pitch for that. And I don't think he's making it any secret. And certainly, I think it's a discussion worthy of having. But I don't think we've made it much of a secret that there's probably not the support for it in the House or in the Senate.
One last question on this that comes to mind, and that's mandatory vaccinations for school personnel. Of course, it's been discussed for healthcare workers. That is also contentious. Is that an issue that's being discussed in the special session?
It has not come up as of yet. The governor has not brought it up. There's talk of things that we could do to encourage it, to incentivize it, but I've heard no discussion with any enthusiasm by any affirmative of having any vaccine mandate. I think that would be. That would be a very, very unusual position for the legislature or for any governmental unit to take, and I would doubt very seriously that you will see anything that will resemble that.
Speaker David Osborne, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you and the legislature, as you will meet soon to deal with this second wave of COVID. I pray for you and pray that you'll be able to work with the governor and come up with some policies that are good for all of us across the Commonwealth.
Thank you, Richard. Those are admirable prayers and much appreciated. Appreciate that thought. And always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. God bless.
Sir, you too.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that we're living in confusing and challenging times where law and culture are increasingly hostile to Christian values. So how do you maintain your faith and convictions? That's a question that we're helping to answer at our Christianity and Culture conferences. The goal is to help believers to understand the culture and how to respond in an effective and winsome way. And we'd love for you to join us. The first two were well received, and we look forward to seeing you at our fall conferences in Bowling Green, Paducah, and in Somerset. To find out more, go to CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. That's CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org, and we look forward to seeing you there. Thanks for staying with us after that break. Great conversation with Kentucky Speaker of the House, David Osborne. And, you know, there are some who believe that COVID-19 is some kind of a government conspiracy in order to obtain greater control over the populace. In fact, I just took a phone call just prior to this program from somebody who is convinced that this is a plot to steal our freedom and to turn us into some kind of a communist government, somebody who is angry at the legislature. And it's funny because he had a lot of secondhand information. There was some speculation that went along with what he saw the legislature doing. That is not a way to assess what your elected leaders are doing. I have a front row seat, if you will, to what's going on in Frankfurt. In fact, this is where the office is located. I talked to several legislators about what's going on and actually have a chance to be in the Capitol and watch the proceedings. And as I record, they're in special session trying to craft policies that are going to address this second wave of COVID. So look, speculation isn't helpful. Prognostication isn't helpful. Thinking the worst of your leaders, that's not helpful. So let me encourage you to be mindful of what you're saying. Be mindful of the inputs that you have. What are the news sources that you're reading? What are the, whether it's talk radio or television programs, be mindful of the source and also the tone that they're speaking in. If they're speaking in angry, hyperbole, vindictive, that kind of tone, that's going to rub off on you eventually. So be mindful of the tone and be mindful of its impact on you. COVID is real. This is not some kind of a made-up disease. There's a lot of people who are suffering right now. One of my employees has suffered from COVID. His wife got COVID, only 42 years old, in good health. And yet she had to go to the ER because she was having difficulty breathing the other day. A couple of area pastors have lost their lives. One was only 51, pastored a large church in Lexington, left behind a family and a congregation who's still grieving. There's a pastor acquaintance of mine in Western Kentucky. 30 of his members have COVID, some in the hospital. His worship leader is in ICU fighting for her life. And when I look at people commenting on this, and often, and I'm talking about social media, often it's on social media where they vent, they find it as some kind of catharsis, but it is not helpful. Look, Facebook is not your friend. Twitter is not your friend in a time of crisis. It is not an appropriate catharsis. You may feel better after venting. You may feel better by sharing your opinion, but ask yourself, is it helpful to share my opinion? Is this blessing my neighbor? Is this something that they need to hear? Often, it's best just to keep our opinions to ourselves and not to weigh in on something. For all my Christian friends out there, may I encourage you to be a force for good and for healing as we fight COVID. As it is, it's over 650,000 Americans have died from COVID. In Kentucky, the number's just over 7,000. 7,000 fellow Kentuckians have lost their life to COVID. Pray. I encourage you to pray for our leaders, those who are in Frankfurt right now. They're hashing out policies that are going to be to address this issue. And as we heard in the previous segment, they are not interested in a statewide mask mandate. They are not interested in extending the governor's emergency powers. The state Supreme Court ruled that the legislature does have lawmaking authority and that they can restrict the governor. And one of the things that they will do is they are handing this back to local governments. You're going to see school boards determine mask policy for the schools. You'll see city councils determine the mask policy for cities, and same with fiscal courts at the county level. You're going to see also other provisions waived, the necessary licensure for out-of-state health workers. You're going to see that waived. You will see pharmacy refills, prescription refills expedited. And then also you're probably going to see the government being very keen on any businesses that are gouging during this time of the second COVID wave. So those are some things that the state legislature is working on. And as they work on those, I think very, very good and helpful provisions, I encourage you to be in prayer for our leaders. I was in conversation with a friend of mine, state legislator, last night from South Central Kentucky, and he was sharing with me all of the emails. And friends, our legislators, get hundreds and hundreds of emails, sometimes in the thousands, when there's a really hot issue. Many of these are not from their own constituents. These are from people across the state and sometimes from across the country, sharing their opinions, telling the legislators what they think they should do. But some of those emails are downright ugly, using vulgarities, demeaning, critical. Those aren't helpful. Those are the email messages that get deleted. Those are the ones that legislators are like, okay, this guy's cranky or that gal's cranky, and I really don't need to listen to that language. So they get deleted. If you have something to say to a legislator, be in prayer first. And I cannot emphasize prayer enough, but be in prayer as to what you'd say. But be respectful. Be cautious of what you're saying. Be factual. If you're not sure of the facts or what you're saying, then ask somebody else or do some research. But be factual, and then be gracious as you're communicating with them. Be a force for good as we are fighting this second wave of COVID. Ask yourself, am I a force for good? Am I working to promote healing? Am I doing things that will stem the spread of COVID? If your opinion, and I'm going to go back to social media, if what you're sharing on Twitter or Facebook cannot be construed as being a force for good or something helpful or something that's adding light where there was darkness, then please don't share it. It's better not to share that opinion. There's so much misinformation. There's so much negativity and just venting that's not been helpful. Ask yourself also, when it comes to being a force for good, how can I be a good neighbor? How can I be a good community member? And so I'm going to suggest, and I've not talked about this a whole lot because I know it touches a lot of nerves. There's a lot of opinions when it comes to masking, but ask yourself, am I being a good neighbor when I have a vulnerable family member or a vulnerable neighbor who might be susceptible to COVID and they want a mask worn around them? Why not wear a mask around them? You might not like it, but if it helps to allay fears, if it helps to put at rest the minds of the other person, if it's helping to protect them, then go ahead and wear a mask. If you've not been vaccinated in here, I know I'm treading into some areas that people might not like. There's a lot of speculation about the vaccinations. Are they safe? Are they effective? There's a lot of anecdotal stories about what the vaccinated did to somebody, or that it might not be effective or as effective as people say. But it appears that in this second wave of COVID, the majority, and these according to news reports, the vast majority of people who are in the hospital have not been vaccinated. And they are younger people too, 30, 40, 50-something age people. So the vaccination, we can speculate all we want on it. You can listen to secondhand anecdotal stories. And I'm not dismissing that. There is something to personal stories. I'm not dismissing that at all. But the vaccine is helping to save lives. I am convinced of that. My opinion has changed in the last several weeks here as I've seen younger and younger people hit and hit hard by it as people have lost their lives fairly close to me. Be mindful that people are in different places on this issue. I might be in a different place than you are. As you're listening to this program, look, we might have a very different idea of how we respect and love our family members and neighbors. We might have a very different idea about vaccination. As a Christian, I do believe that vaccines are intended to save lives. I do believe that science, which is in technology, which is used to create the vaccine, that's a gift from God. I also believe that I should do my part as a community member to slow the spread of any disease. I do believe that vaccinations are a biblical response, a Christian response to when we see an epidemic like this. And I have chosen myself to get vaccinated. That was a hard decision. I went through a lot of prayer, talked to a lot of folks, but I believe that I'd be protecting myself and others from spreading this disease. I don't want to be a conduit to spread it. So I have decided to get the vaccination. And I know I'm probably going to hear from a lot of folks as soon as this airs. And that's okay. And you obviously might not be in the same place that I am. And that's okay too. But let's do something that a good pastor friend of mine has encouraged the congregation week after week. He said, look, We need to give each other space as we process through this COVID virus and this COVID epidemic that we're in. Give people space, how they are going to act and respond, and give them grace as they have come to their own conclusion. That would go a long way in our community and in our country and the Commonwealth at large. Grace and space. Be gracious to others with the place that they have found themselves in when it comes to wearing a mask or where it comes to vaccinations. Give grace and space. We are living in trying times. That is no secret. The anger, the bitterness that's there, I think, due to the COVID virus, it's really revealing something that's there. It's just this time of crisis that is bringing to the surface what has been underlying in a lot of our hearts. So I want to challenge you as I close out this segment. What will you be known by? And when you're engaging and you're living in this time of epidemic, what are people going to remember you as? Were you somebody who was trying to promote healing? Were you promoting goodwill towards your neighbor? Were you trying to protect the vulnerable? Are you known for something else? Are you kind? Are you gracious? Are you thoughtful? Look, we can have different opinions on this epidemic. We can have different opinions on how to approach it. But regardless of where you are on the spectrum, you ought to be kind. You ought to be gracious to others. You ought to be thoughtful as you engage. That means you're not using inflammatory language. It means you're not pointing fingers at elected leaders. It means that you're careful in the words that you speak. Colossians 4:6 comes to mind. It says this: let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Look, there is no downside in being full of grace. There is no downside in measuring your words. Let me encourage you to do that. And one final thought. In 2 Timothy 2:23, says this: don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels. There's a lot of foolishness going on. And I think, again, it is coming to the surface because of this time of crisis that we're in. Give grace and give space. Be in prayer. Have the attitude of Jesus as we engage in this difficult time. Be a healer and a force for good in your community. If we do those things, friends, we will make it through this pandemic. And we can come out stronger than when we went into it. Thank you all for joining us at the Commonwealth Policy Center here on the Commonwealth Matters. God bless and enjoy the rest of your day.